We live in an upside down world. And one day we're going to be in the presence of the Lord in a literal way. What a blessing. And I'm sure all of you are looking forward to that blessed time. And you know, there can be a blessing today. For the Jewish men, there was a requirement to go to Jerusalem to celebrate three annual feasts. In the book of Exodus, chapter 23, verses 14 down through verse 17, it says, three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of the unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee in the time appointed of the month, Abib. For in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. Three times in the year all thy males shall appear before the Lord God. Those three feasts were a reminder to the Jewish people that they were pilgrims and strangers in this world. And it's no different today. Today, we are pilgrims and strangers in this world. And the pilgrimage to Jerusalem, to the tabernacle, was an important part of the Jewish people at that particular time. But as Peter was writing in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, he says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And then in chapter 2 of 1 Peter in verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. We're strangers. We live in a strange world. We're pilgrims heading for home. Checking a dictionary concerning the Greek, I found a stranger is one who lives on earth as a stranger, a sojourner of Christians whose home is in heaven. In other words, he is one away from home. Thought of that tonight? You're away from home. If you know Christ as your Savior. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I'll be glad when the journey's over. I'm at home. A pilgrim, when used metaphorically, according to the same dictionary, in reference to heaven as the native country, one who sojourns on earth. You might say, as I said already, he's one heading for home, yearning for home. Oh, what a blessing that'll be when we're home. You know, I spent a couple of years, well, not quite 2 years in Germany as I was in the service. I enjoyed my time there. I had a terrible hard job in the Army. I drove Jeep for the CO. But, you know, I yearned for home. And I had a brother-in-law. He made a tape, you know, when they had to, didn't have the CDs, then just had the tapes. He made a tape of my brother doing the chores. And the cows would come into this little pen, you know, they'd come into the barn and they'd go back out. And he had the tape of the milk machines going, you know, you could hear that there. And my brother would open that metal gate that would let the cows in and had that squeak to it. And, you know, I tell you, I heard that, I listened to that tape and I yearned for home. And I trust tonight we're yearning for home. And the blessing that will be ours when we arrive at home. But the psalmist here in Psalms 84 saw himself as a stranger, saw himself as a pilgrim. In the fact that for some reason he is not able to go to Jerusalem. He's not able to go to observe those three feasts. And as he ponders his situation, and his desire to be able to go to Jerusalem. He recognizes, even though he couldn't go to Jerusalem, he was blessed. And as believers, we could fit into each one of the categories we're going to look at tonight. Let us look at those who are blessed, though still pilgrims and strangers on this earth. And I trust tonight that the message that I'm going to try to deliver would just be an encouragement. Just be a blessing as you dwell in this strange land. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our most gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have done for us. Lord, you paid the price that we should have paid. That, Lord, you have given us blessing after blessing. And Lord, we look forward, we yearn to the day that we're going to be in your presence in a more literal way than we do today. Guide and direct, I pray you protect my thoughts and my words, that they would be only pleasing to thee. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Psalms 84, beginning with verse number 1. How amiable, in other words, how pleasant, or how lovely, or how attractive are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Now notice verse 4. Blessed are they that dwell in the house. They will still be praising thee. So we're blessed, first of all, by the Lord's presence, or being in the Lord's presence. As you look at that second verse, we see an expression there of the psalmist's heart desire. My soul longeth. My soul longeth, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my soul crieth out for the living God. You know, in the time of the psalmist, to yearn for the temple gave the thought of yearning for God himself. In Psalms chapter 42 and verses 1 and verse 2, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Oh, that day, today we would have that yearning that the psalmist had. Oh, that we would cry out to God. Lord, I desire. Lord, my heart fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. And we would see not just the importance of the house of God, but we would have that desire for God himself. Have that desire for his presence. You know, Christ gave a promise to those who have a yearning for him. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall be satisfied. God will meet their need, and God will encourage, and God will strengthen them. And as the psalmist pondered the thought, he became a little envious, not in a wrong way, but in a right way. He recognized those who were constantly in the temple. They were constantly in the presence of God, you might say. Those who were enjoying being in the presence of God. He even mentions the seemingly worthless little sparrow. And he says, blessed are they that dwell in thy house, blessed by the presence of the Lord. I want you to kind of let your mind wander back to the morning's message. I'm tempted to ask you, what two characters did Pastor really mentioned this morning. But think of Paul and Peter and some of the things that they went through at that, as he was speaking this morning. But Paul recognized the blessing of the Lord's presence in his life. Now, every one of us here tonight faced some trials in our life. We go through some difficult times. But notice Paul, that we find at least three, and I'm sure we can find many more, times when Paul specifically points out the fact that he was blessed by the Lord's presence. And we can place ourselves in these categories that we're going to look at this evening. Paul was going through a trial, having been arrested for preaching the gospel. He makes an appeal, if you remember, to a number of groups and to a number of individuals. He gives a defense for a number of them. And there was a great opposition at this particular time that rose up against him. And he was brought into the castle, speaking here of the Roman barracks. And that night, the Lord made his presence known to Paul, which was a great blessing to him. In Acts chapter 23 and verse 11, and the night following, the night after this episode in Paul's ministry and in his life, and the night following, the Lord stood by me and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." Be of good cheer. Be encouraged. Have an encouragement in the place that you're at and the things that are happening in your life at that time. Later on, Paul was on his way to Rome when a literal storm arose, putting the ship that he was in and all the passengers there in great peril. They were concerned of actually possibly facing death as a result of that storm. And again, Paul was blessed by the presence of the Lord. In Acts chapter 27 and verses 22 down to verse 24, "And now I exhort you, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that are with thee." But here we find in each one of these episodes where it says that the Lord was there with him. Stood by me. But not only that, but notice what the promise that we find given as each one of them is there. The first time where Paul said that the Lord stood by me. And then he went on in that verse, and as he spoke there, he said, "Be of good cheer. Be encouraged. Be strengthened in the place you are, in the difficulty you're facing. Be encouraged in it." And how often does the Lord come alongside of us and say, "Be encouraged. Be strengthened"? He might use another believer to be that encouragement. And then in the second incident, it says, "For there stood by me this night," and he says, "Fear not, Paul. Fear not, Paul." And the Lord has not changed. He still stands by us. He still meets needs in our lives. And when Paul was coming to the end of his ministry, he recalls a previous time when he was in prison in Rome. And there, he made a court appearance. And he made a defense again for his ministry and so forth. And though Paul had a number of friends in Rome, there was none that stood by him. I don't know the reason. You know, maybe because it was just impossible for them to do so. Maybe they were in fear of maybe having to face some of the things that Paul was facing. But in 2 Timothy in chapter 4 and verses 16 and 17, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstand, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." Oh, we're not facing a literal lion today. We are facing a lion. You know, there's that one who is out to devour us. But we can be blessed in the fact that the Lord stands by us. What a blessing it is to know that when we might be going through trial, be facing a raging storm, metaphorically speaking, or we are having to stand alone, we too can experience the presence of the Lord. We can be blessed that we have God's presence today. Oh, one day we're going to be in His presence in a more literal way, but we have His presence today. We too will have the Lord stand by us. And so the psalmist says that we can, blessed is that one who is dwelling in the house, they who will be still praising thee. And then verse 5, again, he says, blessed. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Now, we could spend some time this evening just looking at the first half of that verse. The fact that we're blessed because we're strengthened in the Lord. But I want to look basically at the second half of that verse, where the psalmist says, in whose heart are the ways of them? Yes, blessed are we by His strength. But in the second half of the verse, he says, man is blessed as he thinks upon the ways of God, on the ways that God leads. Blessed are those who love God's ways. Blessed is the man that not only thinks upon them, but he makes preparation for them, for God's ways. The psalmist is speaking literally of the ways of the pilgrim as he makes his way to the place of worship. For the believer, it is not just the goal itself, but the desire for and the love for the ways, the paths of the Lord as we go through this life. Is that of having a heart for God, to gain new attainments for the Lord. Again, I want to refer to the Apostle Paul. Paul, who acknowledged in his later life that he had not attained all that he desired to attain, but his heart had the desire to press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I could ask you one of my stupid questions tonight. How many of you have attained everything you want to attain for the Lord? I notice no hands go up. If we be honest with ourselves, we have not attained all that we can and ought to. But I trust that we, like Paul, have that desire to press toward the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. Going forward, and Paul did so with his eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And Charles Spurgeon, he's making a comment upon this fifth verse of Psalm 84. Those who love the ways of God are blessed. When we have God's ways in our hearts and our hearts in His ways. Notice that little phrase he said there. When we have God's ways in our hearts, in our hearts in His way, we are what and where we should be. And hence we shall enjoy the divine approval. Being in God's way. Now, some of you older, wiser individuals that are here can probably remember a man by the name of Frank Sinatra. Not Sohatra Sinatra. But he had a song that he sang, I Will Do It My Way. And we need to be careful that we don't sing that song as Christians. I will do it my way. We're blessed when we do it God's way. When we have that desire for God's way, for His approval. Whose way are you seeking tonight? Are you seeking your way or the Lord's way? The psalmist says, blessed. is the man, in whose heart are the ways of them. Now I'm going to go ahead and read verses 6 down through verse number 12, just to read the entire psalm. Who passing through the valley of Baca, the valley of tears, misery, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. What a tremendous promise that is. To think of that. He's not going to withhold any good thing from us. You know what we have need of. Now, we might think there's some good things that we ought to have, but God knows the good things we need. And he will not hold the good things that he knows is best for us. But then notice verse 12. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Another source of blessing is a simple faith in the Lord. Here, I believe, in this 12th verse is a key to the blessing. Here is the key to experiencing the blessing from the Lord. As the writer of the book of Hebrews says, without faith it's impossible to please the Lord. And of course, pleasing the Lord comes from faith, knowing the Lord and his ways. You know, entrusting the Lord for all things, at all times, in whatsoever situation we find ourselves. I want us tonight, in just the next couple of minutes, to look at some promises that are given to them who trust in the Lord. First of all, in 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 31, we find that there is the promise of the Lord's protection. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 31, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler. He's a shield. He's a means of protection to those who put their trust in him. There is that security. He is a safe cover for those who just simply trust him, who put their faith in him. Again, in Psalm chapter 32 and in verse 10, those who trust the Lord, he will experience the mercy of the Lord in his life. And oh, how we need that, his mercy. But in Psalm chapter 32, verse 10, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. As we trust the Lord, we are surrounded by his mercy. It's new every morning. We find God's mercy, his goodness in our home, at our work, at play. And we find it day by day. And find it in sickness and in health. Blessed are those who have their faith in Christ, for they are surrounded by his mercy. And then in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, those who have their faith in Christ, who trust him, will experience a peace that the others cannot enjoy. In Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Whose mind is stayed on thee, whose mind is supported by God. Also, those who put their faith in him will know God's guidance in their life. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Doesn't say he might, but he will. direct thy path, as we put our trust in him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is my life verses. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean upon our own understanding. Boy, if I do that, I'm in trouble all the time. But he will guide us. And there can be also, for those who have their faith in Christ, there can be the blessing of answered prayer. In Mark chapter 11, verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. And of course, we realize that is generally speaking. There are, you might say, some requirements that go along with that. You know, James says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you might consume it upon your lusts. You know, if we're just praying to get things that we desire, you know, the Lord has given us a Buick and we want a Cadillac. You know, he says you have not because you ask just to consume it upon your lusts. But when we ask in faith, believing, we have the promise of his answered prayer. In 1 John chapter 5 and verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. As pilgrims, and as strangers, yearning for our home, that permanent home, yet walking in a strange world, an upside-down world, we can be blessed by God's presence. We can find him standing by us. Whenever there's that need, whenever we go through that trial, whenever we face that storm in our life, when others might forsake us, God will stand by us. It's a blessing that is ours even today. We can be blessed by his presence. We can be blessed by walking in his ways and not our own ways. We can be blessed, trust in him, no matter what faces in our life. Simply trusting as the days go by. Yes, we are in a strange world. We are strangers and we're pilgrims. We're not home yet. We're on our way. But we can be blessed today. Let's pray. Our most gracious God and Heavenly Father, how truly thankful we are tonight for the fact that we can enjoy. We can be blessed by your presence. We can be blessed because you do stand by us. We can be blessed as we walk in your ways, not in the ways of this world, not in our own desires, in our own ways. We can be blessed by simply trusting you. Dear Father, tonight I thank you for these dear people that are here tonight. And oh, how I pray that they would know your blessing. They would know your blessing by recognizing your presence, by walking in your ways, by simply trusting you. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done and for what you're going to continue to do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.